This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, giving you a hearty welcome to the continued ministry of the precious Word of God. In recent weeks, we have been seeking to cover the future program of God in relation to the church, and then also in relation to the nation of Israel. Today we would like to begin a short series on God's future program in relation to the nations of the world. It is important to realize that God has planned the future of this world's history, and the culmination of the world's history will be, thanks be to His name, the coming again to this earth of the Son of God, to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to establish His kingdom here below. But until then, God's program must be fulfilled for the church, for Israel, and also for the nations. We would like to cover the history of the Gentile nations as it was revealed in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. In a great dream that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar. I would like to begin reading the words of Daniel in chapter 2 at verse 31 and read through verse 45. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron, and part of clay. Thou sawest, till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron, and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. May God bless by his Spirit the reading and the hearing of his word. May the same blessed Spirit be the teacher to our hearts and minds as we consider the history of Gentile dominion down to the end of the age over all the earth. Now may I briefly meditate with you through the series we shall follow this week upon that which is taught in this great vision given to Nebuchadnezzar long ago and interpreted by God's servant, Daniel. We have the history of the Gentile nations in their dominion over the earth from beginning to the end. For following the Jewish captivity, which took place in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian captivity, God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar a vision that foretold the history of the nations to the end of the Gentile age, to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the chapter, the second chapter of Daniel, which I commend for you to read, the king had the dream but forgot it, and demanded of his wise men what the dream was, and also what it meant. But the story reveals that God alone was able to bring the dream to his memory and interpret it, and God did so through his servant, Daniel. Though Daniel was in captivity to the Gentile monarch, the knowledge of future events was still committed to the faithful of God's children. As you read this second chapter of Daniel, may I briefly state that Daniel's answer to the king is in three sections. In verse 24 through 30, Daniel explains the source and the purpose of the dream that God gave the king. And then in the second section, verses 31 through 35, part of which we have read, Daniel then tells what the dream was, as King Nebuchadnezzar saw it. Then from verse 36 through 45, Daniel gives the king the interpretation of it. Now the source and the purpose of the dream as repeated by Daniel in chapter 2, verses 24 through 40, 30 rather, the source of the dream, it was God alone. For Daniel said in the 28th verse, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now, beloved, let us recognize the source of this dream was God and God alone. The purpose that God gave the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar is stated in verse 29 of our chapter. It was to answer the questions that were in the mind and heart of the king when he was upon his bed in the night. For this great king was wondering and concerned about the future of his kingdom, as well as the future of the kingdoms of the earth in the future days ahead. Now there was no wise man, no astrologer, no magician, no soothsayer in Babylon that was able to make this known. And the knowledge of it was restricted to the servant of God, even Daniel, in captivity to the king. Now in the scripture that we began reading at verse 31 through 35, God tells through Daniel what the dream was. And the outline of the dream was the image of an ant. Please may I emphasize that? What the king saw was the image of a man. A great man, magnificent in brightness, and also terrible to behold. Though the image was divided into four parts, the head of gold, the breast and the arms of silver, the belly and the thigh of brass, and the legs of iron with the feet part of iron and clay, yet it was altogether in its presentation the outline of a man. It is the description of what is in representation by the psalmist called the man of the earth in Psalm 10 and verse 18. The man of the earth. It is the man of the earth expressed in various phases of human government, exercising his authority over the nations. And at the end of the age, when all divine restraints are removed, man will then gratify his unbridled lust to the full, and he will be headed by what the Bible calls the man of sin, the son of perdition, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, beloved, let me please state briefly again, the vision that was given to Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted by Daniel was the declaration of the dream being the image of a man. My beloved, when you and I look at the nations of the earth in their dominion over the world from the day of Nebuchadnezzar, let us recognize that man has been ruling. God has not been ruling. Christ has not been ruling. The King of Kings has not been ruling, though he will in a soon coming day. But God is describing the character of government the nations have manifested over the earth in the dream of this man. And this man's image will culminate in the presentation of man in his worst form at the end of the age, when the nations will recognize and acknowledge the man of sin. But our time is gone. But let us indeed look forward to another ministry on tomorrow, by God's grace. Father, bless thy word, illumine our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.